16, sorry about the typo. And so that verse 16, Jesus is proclaiming that Judas is a sheep. He's sending out his sheep, his disciples, the apostles, out as sheep among the wolves. So he's calling him a sheep at this time. Okay? In verse 18 and 19, we see how they're going to be brought before governors and kings for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. So the Spirit must have been in Judas and the other apostles to answer the authorities. Right? The Holy Ghost would have given them in the same hour what to speak to them. For it's not you that speak, verse 20, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Verse 22 to 25. And you shall be hated by all for my name's sake, and he that endures to the end shall be saved. So here's a primary point. Endurance. Judas didn't endure. That's the problem. Amen. Peter did endure. Judas didn't endure.
That's right.
Did Esau and Jacob, who endured? Jacob endured. Esau gave it up for a bowl of soup. Yeah. Right? He gave up the kingdom, gave up his inheritance for a bowl of soup. What are you going to do? You give up your inheritance in the kingdom for some sin? For a bowl of soup? For a sleazy night in a bed?
30 pieces of silver.
For a period of drunkenness, drugs, lying? What are you going to give it up for? Your inheritance that you have in Christ, you can surrender it. This is one of the points of this whole teaching. Is if Judas wasn't saved, then we can't say that. You just say, well, God foreordained him to do that. Well, obviously we know that God would know that there's going to be somebody that's going to betray his son. His son's going to be offered on this particular day, Passover week, he's going to be offered. And there would have to be somebody to betray him, but who would it be? But he chose all 12 and he sent them all out. And they all, by the power of the Holy Ghost, they healed, they raised people from the dead, they cast out devils. And I go back to the other part where we talk about the servant being divided against himself, against the kingdom of the devil or the kingdom of God. You know, if you're divided, how will you receive it? How can you receive it? Double-minded man's unstable in all his ways, either before him or against him. Amen. All right, so verse 22-25, let's see. All right, so in verse 25 we say, if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more should they call them of his household? Well, if Jesus was called the devil, and we do what Jesus has taught us to do, we see it all the time in the streets we're dealing with people, they call us the devil. Mm-hmm. They call you don't have Jesus, you're going to hell, you don't have the right gospel. In actuality, they don't know the gospel. They don't know the gospel of the Bible, the gospel that Jesus taught.
Right.
Because they call Jesus of the devil, they're going to call us of the devil too. They're going to lie about us. But the Bible tells us not to fear them, because all these things are going to be revealed. Mm-hmm. Verse 24. Yeah, verse 24 is an important one too. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant is above his Lord. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus testified against the world that the world is wicked. Their works are wicked, so we suppose, as Christians, to do the same thing. Jesus, I want to be like you, I want to be holy, and I want to testify. I was these things, and you delivered me, and now the people around me, you need to be delivered too. Amen. Well, they hate us too, just like they hated Jesus, and that fulfills Scripture.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So we get persecuted and hated because we're doing the same thing that Jesus did from the Bible.
Amen.
And therefore we know our faith becomes alive, amen?
Amen.
It becomes alive because, hey, they're hating me without a cause. I'm trying to tell them about the cross. I'm trying to tell them about life. Mm-hmm. And they don't want it. Hannah, take care of her, please. You got somebody with her?
Mom's in there.
Oh, mom's in there. Okay. Go help her, please. Thank you. All right. So, verse 27-28. Let's see what that says. What I tell you in the darkness, that you speak in the light. What you hear in the ear, that preach upon the housetops. So here, Jesus is supposing to tell Judas to preach. Go be my preacher. Why would Jesus, if Judas was of the devil at that time, why would he tell him to do that? In verses 32 to 33, now this is a great comfort to my soul, because I want to go around confessing Jesus wherever I go, you know. Mm-hmm. Not just while I'm open air preaching at the New Year's Eve celebration, but at the gas station, or you know, to the marketing agent on the telephone, or wherever it is, whenever I can, I look for an opportunity. Hey, do you know Christ? You know, what's the Lord doing in your life today? How can I pray for you? So let's see what it says. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Mm. So think of it, all the Christians so-called that are out there denying what Christ taught, denying the way he did things and how he did things, the methods he did things by, denying it. No, but the Bible tells us to walk as he walked, 1 John 2:6. Why wouldn't we? If God wants us to do that, to love him and obey him, then I want to look at what he did, see what he taught, and teach that and do that. Amen?
Amen.
Each of you, especially you men, each of you teach your families, teach your wives, teach your children, then go out in the world and teach them. Take your children with you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I was so edified to see that video, you guys out there. Okay. All right, so if Judas was really the son of perdition or a devil at that time, see, this is the time becomes the question. At that time, in sequence, at that time, and one who did not believe, how is it possible for him to work these miracles by the Holy Spirit? Has the devil, somehow infiltrated God's kingdom and God's mind is double-minded? Is impossible. That's blasphemy. How could the Holy Spirit work through him? I posit unto you, I suppose, or my position unto you to try and help you understand what I'm saying, is that Judas was following Jesus in faith with his whole heart at the time that he did this. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. And then over the course of time, grieved away the Comforter with his stealing, lying, and ultimately betraying Christ with a kiss. Imagine that. You have this person you say you love, and you're going to kiss a greeting to them, and your kiss indicates who it is they would take and crucify. Wow. How could this be true? If once saved, always saved is true, how could this grieving away of the Holy Spirit that Judas did, how could it be true? The answer is it couldn't. So once saved, always saved must be false. And that's one of the primary points in this teaching, is that a believer can walk away from your faith. You can grieve away the Comforter. You can refuse the comfort. You can refuse the guidance of the Holy Ghost. You're not going to get into heaven through me or any other man here. You're going to get into heaven through Christ by the Holy Ghost.
Amen. That's right.
You're going to strive to enter the narrow gate, the narrow and difficult way.
Amen.
You're not going to have a fun time sometimes. It's going to be hard sometimes. You're going to have to humble yourself, which is what God loves humility. Amen. Mm-hmm. Again, amen. God loves
amen.
Humility.
Yeah. Amen.
And God loves mercy above his justice. If you want his justice, keep going in your pride. Keep going in your lies. That's why lying is such a grievous thing to me, because he's the devil, you know, the devil's the father of all lies. That's how he was trying to overthrow, he's trying to overthrow God right there in his own presence with a third of his angels by lying to the other angels. And that third, they started lying amongst themselves. Yeah, we can take this guy. We can take our creator. We can take over that hill. We can overcome him. And of course, God said, get out of my presence. So now they're here, and God's given them authority, a limited place, you know. Prince of the air, he has his authority in this place. God's not making them do that, but he's just giving them existence in this place for a time. And then, right in the middle of that, God has this creation right in the middle of that place. There's Adam and Eve, made in the image of God. Innocent, pure, like that baby over there, just pure as can be. And now that's how God's going to use bad things, evil things, to test us. Bible says that God does not tempt any man.
That's right.
But he surely does test us. Amen.
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 So, and testing is good. Think about it. When you get tested, like you're in school, right? And you take a test and you get an A. Wow, I worked hard for that. I got that A because I worked to remember the material and I could explain it again. Now I know it. So I got my A. Or I didn't work for it. I was lazy and slothful and I got an F or a D and I hate school. No, you should just hate the way you work. The way you work is wicked. You're not applying yourself properly. God wants us to work. Amen? There's work for us to do.
That's right.
But there's, like we say on the college campus all the time, there's a final exam. Don't worry about all these. You're going to get this final one with God. I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't do well in your exams. I'm saying that you need to be more concerned about that exam. Because that one, just like we read about earlier in the teaching, God's going to give us an account for every word we speak. And the attitude that goes with that word. Right?
Right.
So, let's be careful.
Amen.
Okay. I think I'm about done. Any questions? So there's just really a comparison there to what people think about God foreordaining or his foreknowledge is making Judas be a person from the beginning, that he is the one that God foreordained and picked to betray God, Jesus, and turn him over. Obviously, one of them had to. One of them was going to. And them operating their own free will, it was revealed who it was. So, you have a question, brother?
I was thinking about, you know, as God knows there's going to be a remnant, he just doesn't know who's going to be that remnant. Then he knew someone who would betray him. It was prophesied that they would, but somebody had to step up through their...
Right, operating their free will.
Right.
That's right. And so God knows, he wants the remnant that you're talking about is a group of holy people. He knows that his gospel is effectual to bring forth a remnant. And in the Old Testament, there is a passage that talks about prophecy, and I never seem to be able to remember it. Maybe you guys can help me remember where it is. But it talks about, with the angels, a third fell, okay, and a two-third remained. So God lost a third of those creatures. With humanity, a third will be saved and two-thirds will be lost. You think if there is 9 billion people on the planet, there I don't think there is yet, but it won't be long before there's 9 billion people on the planet, then 6 out of 9 billion would be lost and 3 billion would be saved if God, the people on the planet at that time. Of course, we know there's untold millions or billions beyond from history, all the people that are, they're all going to be judged, so it will be one-third of all humanity for all time. But I was just mentioning the people that are on the planet right now. So it's kind of a comparison, interesting comparison. So
when you think of it on that scale, it kind of loses your surprise when you preach to like 200,000 people and not one seems to repent. But when you look at it in the grand scale of things, how many people on this earth and how many will reject God, it's really shouldn't be that surprising.
Well, that's a really good point. And I know you already believe this, brother, but the carnal mind, the unbelieving mind, doesn't understand that what we're doing, we're preaching, is we're plowing, we're planting, we're watering, and God's going to grant the increase, but it might take, a seed, I put it in the ground, boom, I have corn. Does not work that way.
No.
I plow the ground, I prepare the ground, I put the seed in there, I water it, I wait, I water it, I wait, I water it. Oh, there's a little thing, green thing sticking through the ground there. I water it, sun, Lord, bring sun. Right? And so growing an ear of corn takes like 110 days. That's a serious amount of growth. And not all the seed germinates and not all of it comes to fruition.
Yeah.
But I don't go out there planting seeds and plowing and watering and expect growth. But we got a little kernel of hope there last night, didn't we?
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
What was his name?
Amen.
James. We got to pray for James. Remember to pray for James.
Yeah. Amen.
So James humbled himself. And told of, you want to give a quick testimony there, brother?
I was struggling to hold up that banner, Gale Force Winds, yesterday, and he kind of came out of nowhere, and he just kind of read the banner and looked at me, and I never said a word to him. I didn't feel led to speak to him. I had just he came up to me, and he said, I once knew God, and he said, I'd turn my back on him. And I said, well, why'd you turn your back on God? Huh. And he said, well, I loved my sin too much.
Right.
Of course, I could smell alcohol in his breath. And, you know, it's pretty clear he's been out drinking tonight. But he wasn't drunk. He could still think straight, I could tell. And it said his father was dying. Mm. And he was grieved over that. And I think it caused him to realize, start thinking about eternity, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I read him some scriptures about holiness. And I told him that, you know, the reason that you turned your back on God is most likely no one ever told you that God told you to live holy. Right. Stop sinning, you know. You probably made allowances for sin. You tried to coexist a relationship with God, right, and mash it together with your sin. Mm-hmm. And it didn't work out for you, you know. Right. And it was new news to him. He'd never been told that. He said, wow, I've never been told that before. And, mm-hmm, of course, we gave him a tract, and hopefully he'll email, but got a chance to pray with him. And we didn't do any of that sinner's prayer garbage, but, you know, I told him, I said, you need to truly repent. Repent in your heart.
That's right.
And stop sinning.
Amen, brother. You
know, so,
praise God. That was the last thing I said to him as we walked away. I said, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Mm-hmm. And so he's not done yet, though, see? But like most people say, oh, he's saved now. No. But no, he's not. No. He's preparing to be saved. He's like a woman gets pregnant and the baby comes forth. No, the baby is growing, and there's that seed is growing, and there's a bringing forth in the birth. And so likewise with spiritual birth, there's a process that has to happen of brokenness in their heart. And 2 Corinthians 7:10 says that godly sorrow leads to repentance to salvation, but worldly sorrow leads to destruction. So right, we know that if a person has a godly sorrow, like it sounds like James is starting to have, by circumstances, seeing the banner, talking to the brother, having some prayer time, hearing new knowledge about holiness, and then, hey, go check out what the Bible says. Just believe it. Obey it.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I was amazed while, you know, the guys pointed you all out over there, and I did a, you know, slow pan, and I said, see, there, we don't want to go over there and disturb that with a camera and pictures and all that stuff that the carnal Christian wants us to do. Where's the fruit of your ministry? Well, this is a thing with them and the Lord, you know, that's going on there. I'm not going to go in there with a video. Hey, man, I've got social media. I want to get 2,000 likes on this video. What do you got to say about what just happened? That's ridiculous,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So when people ask us about their videos, why do you just show the harsh, rebuking, why that's all you guys do? Well, you're presuming that. Isn't that true? So
yeah.
We know, the Lord knows our work, what we're doing, and our heart for the lost. And,
that's right.
And so we're not going to let that distract us or push us away from the work. Amen. So,
amen.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, there's a couple things. When you were comparing Judas with Peter, it reminded me of my teaching on obedience is better than sacrifice, and comparing David and Saul, King David, mm-hmm, and King Saul.
Yep.
And Judas did the same thing that Saul did. Saul sought after man, not God.
Mm-hmm.
Judas did the same thing. Yep. He could have went to God and repented, mm-hmm, but he went and repented to the Jews instead, right, and they rejected him.
Yep.
And just like Samuel rejected Saul, and the Holy Spirit left Saul, just like the Holy Spirit left Judas. When, mm-hmm, when the devil entered in to Judas, that was it. He was turned over.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the other aspect of it too, going back to our outreach the other night, you know, I was talking to you earlier, brother, about Elijah running into the cave and hiding from Jezebel, right? And he says, no, there's 7,000 that haven't bowed, right? Here's a man from Brazil.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Amen.
You know,
right. Yeah.
Yeah, this man, I thought he was heckling us at first.
I did,
that's
too.
That's what I thought, too.
Right, he's going thumbs up and all this stuff, and I go over by him, start talking to him. He doesn't speak a lot of English. And he says, good, 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 good. And I give one of our JesusPreacher.com cards, and he pulls out his phone and starts showing me he's a pastor, an Assembly of God pastor from Brazil. First, he shows me a video of him preaching from his pulpit. I'm like, that's good. Praise God. And he's a brother. Praise the Lord, right? And then he really shocks me. He goes to another video on his phone, and he's street preaching on the streets of Brazil.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
So I was like, wow. And then we got him on the bullhorn for 2 minutes, and he preached in Spanish. right? We're not alone, brothers. We're not alone, right? There's 7,000 that back then that didn't bow to Baal, right? There's other brothers and sisters in Christ across the world. So I just want to encourage everybody with that.
Any other questions or point? Yes, sir.
So it was a good teaching. Thank you. Very important topic. Thank you for that. I agree with it. I just have a couple of things that I thought we might talk about. The first one that came up was, and you didn't spend a lot of focus, or you didn't build on it, so it's not like going to destroy the whole teaching or anything like that. When you were talking about the scripture missing from Jeremiah, mm-hmm. and it being Zechariah,
mm-hmm.
And you were saying, there's many explanations, and you kind of narrowed it down to a couple that...
There's like seven major explanations. They're all different, but they're historical explanations. But go ahead.
And in talking about that, the last one you mentioned, which you said you thought was the better one, was as Revelation warns about taking away and adding to Scripture, that possibly. That might have been what happened in this, and so I guess I have a concern about that,
mm-hmm.
Because it brings up the topic of does God preserve His Word? It's oftentimes brought up by sinners, saying. That we can't trust the Bible because it's been messed with, right? And so if we put weight on this, I think it'd be good to talk about that, not necessarily today, but to talk about that, because if we have that in the realm of possibilities in this context, who's to say there are not many other things that were added or removed outside of this context?
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, we don't have to talk about it now. I just wanted to express that.
Yeah, it's a very, very deep subject that we couldn't possibly exhaust here, and I would have to turn the audio off just so we could try and keep it in a reasonable length I can am I able to upload it. But to briefly answer your point, we all believe by faith what we're reading, right? We all believe by faith the doctrine that we're receiving. So ultimately, it's by faith. We all agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
And you made the comparison that, well, sinners all the time in the open air say that word's been messed with, but I'm not appealing to them. I'm appealing to what God said. Now, the supposition can be just for the book of Revelation. God was only talking about the book of Revelation for that. But certainly, it has to at least be that. But it could be for the whole book, the whole revelated God's word and God's will. And we know the Roman Catholic Church, for example, the Ten Commandments, they took out the second commandment, you shall not bow to any image, statues, etc., so they could do their image worship. Then they took the tenth commandment, split it in two, and moved them all back down. So for the Roman Catholic Bible, which many people are by faith believing the Roman Catholics are Christians, they're saved, they're going to give an account to God for that. And the person that took it out and slid things back down, split commandments, did all that, that's all going to be judged. But the Bible says it, not sinners. So before the sinner ever says to us in the open air, well, God's word's been messed with, God 2,000 years ago said, they're going to mess with my word. But God is able to deliver His word to us. How? Well, we study it, we read it, Holy Spirit comes and teaches us, and so we come to good conclusions. And I think this is a good conclusion, but I don't think I'm going to answer your point in that with just that answer. So, of course, I'm willing to talk about it. We can debate it at the table, at the men's table, etc. So,
thank you.
You're welcome.
Just one last thing in that.
Sure.
Topic. That I had a question about, which can be reserved for another time. I know we only have so much time right now. Is you, because I haven't studied this topic, and so I haven't done the reading, all the explanations. But the thought that came to me was, you had mentioned, you know, when we go to the quote manuscripts, that we're not seeing it in the formal Jeremiah. And so, my very, very simple, small amount of knowledge about manuscripts and such is that there was a lot of them. And so, are we thinking that if it was God's word getting messed with, that all of those many manuscripts were change, removing it from Jeremiah and putting it in Zechariah?
No, I don't think that. I think an original manuscript that all those thousands of manuscripts were based upon was messed with.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, we don't really have much of anything left physically. We have historical records of manuscripts. So, and they're very good scholarly records. I mean, this subject is like, because humankind has been doing what humankind, and devilkind has been doing what devilkind has been doing for at least 2,000 years with the New Testament. Mm-hmm. So, but God is able to deliver His word.
Amen.
He's able to bring us forth doctrines and understanding and His word. I mean, we can just let, I mean, the King James only, I don't want to go there, but the King James only guys, we have a record 400 years old that we can look at. You know, that's a nice slice of time. And that's why I like the King James, because, hey, that thing goes back 400 years, and yeah, the words are a little different, there's some different spellings and stuff, but there's a record there that's understandable for 400 years, and it hasn't changed much, so. And yes, sir.
If I could, I would find it. I'd have to get on Google or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it also says not to change the Word of God in an Old Testament book the same as the Revelation. So the supposition that it was only applying to Revelation
is a wrong one.
Would be a wrong one, yes. Because it's repeated within the Old Testament.
Good. Yeah, I'd
I
like
don't
to see
know
that.
To quote the verse, but I could find it if it was necessary.
Yeah, we'll take a look for that.
My other question was Zechariah, what verse was that quoted that?
Chapter 11, verses 12 through 13.
Which one?
Chapter 11, 12 and 13.
12 through 13.
Thank you. And I would just like to point out that it's a very, if you read that Potter's Field in Jeremiah, it's a very odd thing that he has Jeremiah do, seemingly for no real
out of nowhere.
Purpose.
Right.
And then when you read this in Matthew, it even though that exact quoted verse isn't there, the concept is very much there. So even if this is such a minor thing, if it was to make my whole faith, you know, it's too minor to hinge much faith on it, if that's the right way to say it.
Right.
Because the concept is there, and like I said, it's an odd thing for God to say, go buy a field, and it's just, there's no real point of it at that time.
Right.
But
the context of the passage, right.
When Judas threw this money back, and you rightly said, they didn't even want the money, they're speaking their own guilt, whether they realize it or not.
Right.
As you said in that Matthew, you're judged by your own words. That was their words speaking. This is blood money.
Mm-hmm.
That's them saying, we killed Jesus.
Right.
So, you know, it's it actually, you, if you had a critical spirit and you wanted to tear the Bible apart, you could use that to do it, maybe. But if you, with the Holy Spirit, you can really see the unity in the whole thing, whether the without striving over the exact words. Is what I'm trying to say.
That's a really good point.
Amen.
Now, just add there, you know, no one can be saved by skepticism or doubt.
Right.
You can only bring more doubt.
Yeah. That's
right. But by faith, mm-hmm. you can receive.
Amen.
Right.
And
right.
so it's
Amen.
back to God knew what it's going to be required for his human creature to come to that point. Yes, sir? Yes, another point you want to make, Brother Josh?
Yeah, in Proverbs, here's that scripture. It says, add thou not, it's Proverbs 36, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar.
Proverbs what?
30 and then verse 6.
30 and verse 6.
Then it's Jeremiah 2. It's 26.
Jeremiah 26. Jeremiah 26, verse 2?
Yeah.
Can you read that, brother, please?
Sure. It's, thus says the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak unto all the chiefs of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house. All the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, brother.
Good. Yes, sir.
Again, thank you for the teaching. It was a good one. You did good. Don't interpret my much talking as...
No, I don't, brother.
Opposing. Okay,
you're fine.
So, well, the other thing, the thought that came to me, I don't think I've had this thought before. Something it'd be good to talk about sometime is when you were talking about Jesus testing the spirits.
Say it again, please.
When Jesus testing the spirits, right? Mm-hmm. We were to test the spirits,
mm-hmm.
and he was testing the spirits. He was examining Judas,
mm-hmm.
And so. You know, this question of when did Judas begin sinning? When did he stop his faith in the Lord? Is a question because, I think we have the answer. I don't know, but. The reason why I bring all this up is because, you know, was Judas remaining in fellowship with Jesus and his disciples while he was living in sin?
Okay, that's a great question. Let me answer that question with a question and see who can answer it. Was there a point in Judas's ministry where he asked Jesus, couldn't that money be used for something else?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was that passage, or what was, anybody know that passage, or
John,
what the?
John, like 17 or 16.
Okay.
Yeah, I was talking about the ointment.
Okay, the spikenard maybe, or the.
Something about the ointment.
And he says, "Should have been given to the poor," and he was mm-hmm. because he was in charge of the money bag.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
And he was a thief.
That's what I'm referring to.
Yeah,
he was a thief.
And I don't know if it's that passage or another was talking about him stealing from the money bag. So,
yeah, I'm
so a thief has to start with a lie, right? His thieving about the money bags would have to start with coveting. Then the coveting would lead to lying, and the lying would lead to the stealing. And the stealing would lead to more problems, of course. So. As far as did Jesus have fellowship with him, Jesus was understanding, as you know, just like we see in James chapter 5, verse 19 and 21, if you have a brother who's erring, what do we just cast him away, or do we try to convince him of the truth?
Amen.
And so before we cast him away, we're going to try to convince him what's right and what he's doing wrong. And so I would have thought that, you know, Jesus was testing him during this time, and seeing that there was things that were going on within him that would be leading to destruction. So does it record everything about what Judas was doing? Probably not. Like, we know that everything about Jesus wasn't recorded, so 3.5 years of ministry to record every minute is like, or everything that was happening, it's not in the gospel. So
right. And that's a verse I wanted to read in John 10:25, if I may.
Sure, go ahead.
And there, the last verse of the last book of John, 21:25, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they could be written in one, I suppose that even the world itself cannot contain the books that should be written. Amen.
Whoa.